on WCLV IdeaStream Public Media. The Ohio Light Opera season begins June 13th at the College of Worcester. And we have Stephen Daigle, the artistic director, who will be leaving his post at the end of this season, and Jacob Allen, who has been with the company for some time. He will be the incoming artistic director. And guys, this is a classic season, and it begins with My Fair Lady.
Yes, classic season for OLO is an unusual season anywhere else in the world. You get to see six shows, three musicals from different styles, different time periods, and you can't experience seeing three musicals in 2 days because of the type of season we have, and three iconic operettas. If you're interested in seeing 2 days of wonderful musicals, you can come to OLO, and that can happen in less than 48 hours, and you can see three operettas in, you know, less than 48 hours because of the way we program.
Well, yeah, it seems like the three musicals are bunched together, and then the three operettas, and Jacob, My Fair Lady is one that you're directing. In fact, you're directing two of the three, and Damn Yankees follows that, and then The Boys from Syracuse, which is not something that a lot of people have seen.
True, although I think more people are familiar with it in some fashion than they might think. This is a piece based on Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors. It's a funny farce, but it's got some great music in it that I think people will be familiar with. Tunes such as This Can't Be Love, tunes such as Falling in Love with Love, Sing for Your Supper. It's full of songs that even people that may not be familiar with the musical have probably heard those pieces as part of the American Songbook at some point.
Well, it's classic Rodgers and Hart. And then in between My Fair Lady and The Boys from Syracuse is Damn Yankees, which is Adler and Ross. And there's always curiosity about who plays the devil and about who plays Lola. My Fair Lady opens June 13th, Damn Yankees the 16th. June 25th, The Boys from Syracuse. Do you have to have read The Comedy of Errors to understand this in its entirety?
Not at all. This is a comedy that surrounds two sets of twins. So it's about mistaken identities. No prerequisite necessary.
What's the costuming like in this?
Well, interestingly, you know, it's hard to go out and cast two sets of identical twins. However, in this production, we actually have one set of identical twins in our cast. And as luck would have it, they are playing characters that are not meant to be twins. So as we put this production together, we're going to have to work hard to make the audience understand, probably through costuming, these are two sets of twins, even though the actors themselves are very dissimilar in how they look. And oh, by the way, here are two people that look exactly the same that are not meant to be twins in the course of the show. And without giving too much away, I'll just say that the production team, we have a really clever and I think very funny way of training the audience before the show even starts about how to read those characters.
You're directing The Boys from Syracuse. It sounds to me like that would give you a headache going in. But clearly that is not. And then in July are the operettas, The Merry Widow. What can you say about The Merry Widow other than it's probably the most popular operetta ever? Would that be right, Stephen?
It is. And it changed just the way shows were commercialized. In fact, musical theater very much was influenced, American musical theater, by the commercial side of Merry Widow. There were Merry Widow fans, Merry Widow corsets. There were so many things that came out of the show, and it was popular. Give you some idea of how popular it was in the first 10 years of its premiere. It was translated in 25 different languages and performed, which is really, I don't think there's another show. So it had international success. It was the first show to have such a broad international success.
And that was at the beginning of the 20th century, what, 1905?
1905.
Well, and there's a direct connection, actually, between The Merry Widow and My Fair Lady, because Frederick Lowe's father was a performer, and he was specifically known for his portrayal of the character Danilo in The Merry Widow. And so Frederick Lowe, the composer of My Fair Lady, grew up steeped in the operetta tradition and in The Merry Widow specifically. And I think you can hear some of those influences in his scores.
Yeoman of the Guard is the Gilbert and Sullivan offering. It's from 1888. Stephen, you're directing it. And this has to do with, somebody guarding somebody else and who doesn't want to be guarded, right?
Right, exactly. And I will say for me, this is going to be, as artistic director, my last production that I'm directing. There's a certain level of nostalgia for me. I think this is my third production. It's one of the more serious works I've always of the Gilbert and Sullivans. In a way, it's probably the most operatic of the Gilbert and Sullivan scores. I've always been drawn to, I love the comedy and the laughter in operetta, but I've been drawn to those works that have that sort of sentimental element, or there's a certain pathos to it, and this one does, without giving away the ending of it. We're also fortunate to have a veteran of OLO, Ted Christopher, who's from Cleveland, who's coming back to do Jack Point. So for me, there's kind of a level of closure, directing the show.
You mentioned a bit of sentimentality on your part, but operatic dimension of the show itself. Mr. Gilbert is known for his sharp comments. How is it expressed in this particular operetta?
Well, we have a character that's a comic Jack Point, who's the kind of, you would compare it to a court jester. And so that it's sort of centered around that character, and yet that's the character that is a tragic character. I would want people to come see the production to kind of understand it. But one of the things we were drawing to is this sort of Shakespearean idea of this work and the timing, the time period of it, which, you know, if you think about Shakespeare, it presents something for everyone, the tragedy and the comedy. And there's sort of an interesting parallel with this piece and how it's delivered in its wit and also in the sort of tragic element in the style of what tragedy could be for Gilbert and Sullivan.
Stephen Daigle is the artistic director of the Ohio Light Opera. He will conclude his tenure at the end of this season, and Jacob Allen, who's been with the company for some time, will come aboard as artistic director. Victor Herbert is represented with his 1906 operetta called The Red Mill, and neither of you is directing this, but it's a fellow that you know quite well.
Correct. Spencer Reese, who has for some time been the choreographer for the company and really has done fabulous work in elevating movement with the company, is directing this production. And I think it's fitting for him to do this. This is a piece that sort of bridges the gap between operetta and American music theater. It has elements of vaudeville in it. And so bringing somebody that's familiar with the company and has an affinity for the repertoire, but also is a sort of a movement specialist to direct the production, I'm really excited for what that's going to look like.
The Merry Widow opens July 1st, Yeoman of the Guard, July 16th, and The Red Mill, Victor Herbert's operetta, that's going to be opening on July 23rd. And when we talk again, we will talk about some of the special features of the season, some of which are special concerts, some of which are special lectures, and the expansion of the pre-show talks. So I know that our listeners will be very, very interested in that. Stephen Daigle, Jacob Allen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.